Okay, this schmooze is just 1 mile malkum, the Matnas Kuna on the Medrash Rabbah. So I, that little Matnas Kuna is the Iker Mar Malkum. But just get familiar with the Maka of Barad, which is being discussed here in this week's Parsha. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is warning Mitzrayim that there's going to be borrowed. And Pasuk Yutes, it says, V'ata shlach ho'ez es miknecha. You should send away, gather in your flock, and everything that there is in the field, kol ha'odom v'behema, any humans, any cattle, any animals that you found in the field, that lo yosef abaisa, that you don't collect or gather into your house, v'yorad aleihem habarad v'mesu. So bird will come down and they're all going to die. Sounds like, you know, the IDF, before they go bombing in Lebanon, you're just saying, okay, we don't want to have to regret the loss of life. So a humanitarian thing is that, listen, we have to bomb it out, but just letting you know, anything there will perish. So take away all living things, humans, animals, take it out, because anyone else, anything that's there is going to die. And in actuality, of course, Paro doesn't listen. And the pasuk says, "Ayom Rashel Moshe Teyes Yod Kol Hashemayim V'Borod B'Chol Eretz Mitzrayim Ala Odom V'Ala Behema." So, since Paro didn't listen, then the bird comes down on Odom and Behema. So that's what these two midrashim are. The Midrash Rabbah is discussing. So the first one. Make sure I'm reading the same one as you have. V'atashlacha ezes miknecha, bor e. Come and see. Rachmav shal kodesh baruch hu. You see the great mercy of Hashem. Afilu b'shas kaso, even in the time that he was angry. Richem al rishoyim, he had compassion on the rishoyim. Val behemtam, and on their animals. L'fisha makas haborod, lohayim mishalcho aleihen, because the makas aboard was not intended for them, el al yabol haaretz, only on the produce, on that which was growing in the agriculture. Vaya mazhiran sheyishmeru atzman vesbehemtam, they shall yilku beboret. And he was warning them that they should be able to protect themselves and their cattle, kadei shelo yilku beboret, that the boret should not engulf them and kill them. So, but in the end of the day, as the pasuk says, "Vayomer Hashem Moshe," as I read, "Neteyes Yod Kol Hashemayim V'Borod B'Chol Eretz Mitzrayim Ala Odom Ala Behema." So, what happened? That in the end of the day, everything was killed. So, I took out all the extra Medrash Rabbah, just kept the ikur here. Lama hevi aleihem borod. So why did the borod come down on them? What was the ultimate reason for borod? That's because they lefisha samu Yisrael note kramim veganos upardes and vilanos, because Klal Yisrael had to work all their fields. Lefisha hevi aleihem borod b'shavas hakol. The intention was only for the Yabol Ha'aretz, was for the agriculture, because it was a Mida Keneged Mida. Okay. Here's the Ikra. Ala Adam Ala Behema. In the end, it attacked the Adam Behema. Kivan Shara Kadosh Baruch Hu Shlo Shamal Dvarav, Masha Amal Hem Shlach Ha'ez. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that they didn't listen to him, that which it said, that which he warned them, Vata shlach hoyes es miknecha, send away and gather in your livestock. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kedai Sheyavu HaBarad Al HaKol. What does that mean? Well, it says Kedai Sheyavu HaBarad Al HaKol, but you see the Matnas Kuhuna, Kedai Sheyavu HaBarad, Pirish Kedai V'Hagun. It was fitting. Hu Sheyavu Al HaKol, that everything should get be included in the plague, even Adam U'Behema. Ma'acher, since she'enon ma'minim lochus alatzman v'abahemtem. Since they weren't ma'minim, lochus alatzman v'abahemtem. Since they weren't ma'minim, at least to work, cover themselves. As they may not have been on the highest level of shar b'tachon, but at least, you know, protect yourself. You know, does anyone know if when the weather forecast says that there's a hurricane? First watch, and then the hurricane warning, and you're in the cone. For those of you who know the Florida talk before a hurricane, you're in the cone. Does anybody know exactly where it's going to go exactly? They make this big, all within the possibility. So, hey, they're wrong. Very often the weathermen are wrong, the meteorologists, but at least, you know, cover yourself. There's a hurricane coming, so cover yourself. No, they didn't listen. So in Mela, they didn't listen to at least have enough emunah to cover yourself and wipe them all out. Okay, so I think I have four kashas on this Matnas Kuhuna. Four kashas. In no particular order. The first kasha is, it sounds like the Medrash is like bothered by, in the end of the day, why were the Adam and Behemah killed? What do you need to justify? You need a justification why they have to get punished? I told you that if you don't get out, you're going to die. I told it to you. The bombs are coming. They're landing right over here. So anyone who's in this field, right here, you're going to die. So finished. There's no more explanation necessary. So when the Makas Barad came, if anyone wants to know why they died, because Hashem warned them to take it away, and they didn't take it away, so they died. Like, what, why did the Pasuk have to say, what's the bothering the Medrash? Why does he have to say, oh, it's because they didn't have a Muna. The Medrash has to tell you because they didn't listen? It's obvious. The Pasuk says. So that's the first kasha. What is the Ribbono Shel Olam need a justification for? Because they didn't reach, they wouldn't have like a, almost like a, an elementary level. They should have been on the elementary level. The maimin atzlochus al atzma al behemtam. Number one. Number two. Okay, let's say they would have taken in their cattle and themselves. The whole thing, it's a, in any way, would be like a, I don't know, is this a kasha on them? Like it's the whole thing is fake or right anyway. They're not really, is it real? They were rishoyim. So they would have taken their stuff in. It's a fake or right anyway. What would it show? Do they deserve it or they don't deserve it? They're saying that they didn't take their things in, and if they took their things in, what is that? Like, they're Rishoyim, they don't believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam, and they constantly disdain the Ribbono Shel Olam, and let's say they would have taken it in. So then they're a chashuv of people, they don't deserve any punishment. What does that show? It's like a shtickle fake array. That's my second kasha. My third kasha is, okay, and if you're obviously at the point where the Ribbono Shel Olam has to find some justification, so like this is the worst of, this is the avera that you're being told on. I think of much better averas that the Mitzrim did, that they should deserve to die. Like, why couldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu come up with all the other rishas that the Mitzrim did? There are countless midrashim on what happened, the murderers and torturers, blasphemers, the these nus and mitzrayim, the levels of tumah. This is, you have to be tola on some avera. Let's say you want to be tola on something. There are plenty of a smorgasbord of reasons why you could kill out, wipe out the mitzvah. There's no shortage of svaras. This is what you come up with, that the she'enim aminim al'atzvam al'behemtam. And the fourth kasha, is this, I don't know if this is really a kasha on the Matnas Kuna, but the Matnas Kuna made me think of it, so it's a kasha on the Matnas Kuna. So the fourth kasha is, so Taka, why didn't the mitzvah listen? It's like, if that's all you had to do was take it in, so why didn't they listen? I think those four issues have to resolve. Let's Nachamal, four kashas. Number one, why do you need a justification? They were already born. The leaflets went out. Move out or you die, and you didn't move out, so you die. Number two, you told it on some of it, but it seems like faker eye anyway. She'enim aminim al'atzvam al'behemtam lochas al'atzmam. What would it show anyway? You take it in. Isn't that shtickle faking anyway? They don't really believe in any Ribbono Shalom. What would it show anyway? Number three, this is the avera you have to be tola on. There are worse averas. And number four, why didn't they listen? Okay, so let's tackle these one at a time. We can decide afterwards whether there's multiple shmuzim on each of these kashas, one shmuz, two shmuzim, no shmuzim. So on the first issue, why does Hashem need a justification? I think we see something very important here. If the Ribbono Shel Olam didn't feel, despite the fact that they were warned, and the Hasra was that remove your cattle and yourselves or you will die, but if they didn't deserve the Misa, despite the fact that they were fairly warned, they still would not have been chayav Misa. There's no such thing as collateral damage. Collateral damage, the term means that it's not really the damage, it's collateral. It's like one thing causes a chain reaction. So, you know, people view it like, it's Shlomazel, I had to end up being here, and there was an accident there, and one thing hit another thing, and another thing, and another thing hit me. It was like, not intended for me, it was just Shlomazeldik. There's no such thing as collateral damage. I didn't see the warning, and I, no such thing. If they weren't obligated, it wasn't destined for them to be Chayav Misa, then, despite the fact that the leaflets went out, they would not have died. You see that I think you see beferish. That you see that there's a tasha she'enim aminim lochas al'atzmam al'behemtam. K'day v'hogun hu she'yerid al'akal ma'achar she'enim aminim al'atzmam lochas al'atzmam al'behemtam. He's not just saying because they didn't listen to Paro. There's something here. They did something wrong. This level of maminim they should have been at. And if not for that, if not yet you could be tolet on something, they would not have died, despite the fact that there was fair warning. So, we view it different ways. You know, person thinks like, person got up and says, whoever does this, I don't know how it works in the Ribbono Shel Olam could do it. Anyone does this, you're going to get penalized. You're going to lose your pay. You're going to get fired from your job and get kicked out of yeshiva. I don't know what it is. But you see a certain thing. So you made very nice. You made a warning. But if the person doesn't deserve that consequence, you still can't do it. We have to reckon with that. Okay, that's the first thing. The second thing is in this fakerai. What were you expecting them to do? They don't believe in Hashem. So what's the taina? They don't believe in Hashem. Why should they take in their flock? They don't believe in Ribbono Shel Olam, but the Ribbono Shel Olam is the one saying, that such and such is going to happen. So, like, why should they take it in? They don't believe, and if they do take it in, what would it show? It's they don't believe, so it's stam faking. So l'chora, this is the Maisa Satan. The Satan tells us that our life is all or nothing. It's all or nothing. Either we do the mitzvah totally, or we don't do anything at all. We can't do it the way it's supposed to be done, the lechatchila dik away properly. It's not kedai to do anything. And this is the message here. Because they could have done on a low level, at least be mamin shalachas alasam abhemtam. As I was thinking, I don't know if this is a good mashal, but you have people even who are not, you know, yeri shemayim. Hey, you have these people. They high holidays. They go to shul, once a year, Jews, because they hear they grew up as, you know, shikla yom adin. And I'm sure there are many people who don't even do that. But it is a shtickle madrega. And we fall prey to that all the time. That's probably the biggest yetzahara in yeshiva. Because we know what perfection is. Come there, you know, you come in the morning, 7:30, get here 10-15 minutes early, and have a beautiful davening, and you learn Mishnah Berurah. Then you take a little break, and you come learn 4-hour morning Seder, take a little break, and learn a 4-hour afternoon Seder, take a little break, and a 3-hour night Seder. That's perfection. And the Yetzer Hara tells us, I can't do that. What's the use in showing up for Shacharis? What's the use in showing up for Mishnah Berurah? What's the use showing up for morning Seder? I won't know what's going on in Shir anyway. had a student who he isn't going to be here for the midterm. It's not going to be here for the midterm. So we started chazering on Sunday. Not going to be here for the midterm. We don't give midterms early. You have to take it afterwards. So what's the use in learning all week? Why should I learn? Because by the time if I'm going to learn it, then I'm going away. I'm going to forget it. I have to study for the midterm afterwards. Mamish couldn't learn Mamish for one day he's missing. Mamish couldn't learn for a week. Because couldn't even do a little bit. So that's a very big, I think most of us, myself included, but most of us have to fight this. We have to realize that we have to chaparayin. Whatever we could do is kedai to do. And this is the tfiya. This is the tfiya on the mitzrim. It's not fakerai, that's the yetzer hara. This madrega they should have been able to do. And they held accountable for it. So we have to fight off the Yetzer Hara when he tells us it's all or nothing. A little bit, so you do a little bit. Were there other averis to be told on? There certainly were other averis to be told on. But the Hara, you see that this particular avera, to be a maimon, is a very chash of a thing. You see how chashuv it is to work on our midah bitachon. Bitachon is a very big thing. And when we have to reflect on, okay, Baruch Hashem, we're here, we have many levels of, we are considered the Bali Madrega of the world. We're it. Who else? Are the Bnei Yeshiva learning in Beis Medrash full time? Why are we learning? What are we doing here? Because we believe that there is a Torah, believe that there's a Ribono Shel Olam, we believe that learning is the Ratzon Hashem. That's a mamash a gevaldik level of bitachon. So just to dehair that this is such a powerful, it's chus for us, that we are on levels of bitachon. Okay, there are higher levels of bitachon, but this is a very high level of bitachon. This is an amazing thing, and to dehair that, wow, to the extent that okay, this is the level of bitachon they should have been held to. They should have been on. They should have been able to reach this madrega, and they didn't. They blew it. Yes, it's very serious, and it rates, and maybe there are other reasons why it trumped some of the other averis over here. But you see, clearly that it was a very serious aveirah, rated. And last, so why didn't they listen? What would be the big deal to take in your flock? You're in the cone. Fork, you're in the cone. Take it in. It's possible. It's possible. So you see, it's an amazing phenomenon that when you're in the matzav, you can't see the most simple things. There would have been no harm to take in the flock. What would have been so hard to lead your animal from the outside into the barn? It would have meant nothing, a couple of minutes. But you see when in the middle of a matzav, how difficult it is to think outside the box, maybe. It's very hard, we get very fixed in our positions, our opinions. I don't want to say the name. The one Chosh of a Rashiva in our system was giving a shmooze once. I was very inspired by it. He said that when he was in high school, also in the system, he remembered having these big arguments with, did he say the Rashiva? I don't remember. Rashiva or others when he was in high school. It's not the Rashiva, he had a relationship with the Rashiva, but others, his manal, whatever, that he didn't think there was anything wrong with, so terrible about Nivel Peh. Nivel Peh, what's Nivel Peh? It's just words. You take a few letters together, you put them together, and it's a word. It doesn't in itself have any, not doing it, it's just a word. So people decided that's not a nice word, but it's nothing wrong with it. And he held there's nothing wrong with it, and he didn't badafka trying to use the word, but he was not refrained from using certain words. He didn't think anything so terrible. It's just a word. Then he said he went, after high school, he went to Beis Medrash. He was away from, the normal yeshuv of where his friends and his community was. And after two and a half years, he came back, so to speak, to civilization. And he heard someone using the words that, wow, he hadn't thought about it. He realized, so he went over to his mentors, who he was arguing with when he was in high school. And he said, wow, I can't believe it. I see that now I could see why it's so terrible. He couldn't see it when he was in high school. He couldn't dehair it. But now he dehairs it. I think it's from the same issue that when you're in the middle of it, you just can't see the obvious. I think Pesach Kohn has this story that when they were building the great synagogue in Yerushalayim, so he, Shon Shodron writes that they had all these, the Arabs were building, and they had all these, they were digging up all these cesspools that were there, and everything dug up and in the middle, and it was the smell, the stench was not bearable, but they were working in there. And then when it came time for lunch, there's a bell, and everyone stops, Israel stops, and everyone took out their lunch boxes and they sat down and they started eating lunch. This terrible smell. And the people walking by, it was bad enough that there was this stench and you see people working there. But now you see people eating in the middle of this thing, and everyone looked at them, they started making faces. And he says, Pesach Kohn writes, and as the Arabs are looking, they're like laughing at these people who are making these funny faces as they walk by. Look, everyone that walks by making another funny face. They thought it was very humorous. Well, what are they making faces for? Everyone's making these crazy faces. So he writes out, you see from here, when you're in the middle of the stench, when you're in the middle of it, you can't smell the stench. So we have to dehair that, as things come up, that there are a lot of things that maybe that we don't dehair. It could be that because we're in the middle of it. This is very difficult to step away from a matzav. It's very difficult to step away. That in itself is a very big koyach as things come up, to be able to step away from something and look at it more objectively and maybe will be able to save us a lot of grief. Especially get into a little bit of a sikh with someone. You know, it's very, very, very important to be able to get a very fresh look on it. It's very hard to do. But to the hair that you probably, a person knows that maybe I'm just not seeing it from all the other angles, just that the hair that it's difficult to see it is very important to be able to do. So, okay, just chazer over. The kashas and tirtzim. Number one, why does the Rebbeinu Shlomo need a justification? Because there's no such thing as collateral damage. And despite the fact that there was warning and theoretically no one could taina, I warned you fairly and you didn't listen, no one could taina, but still the Rebbeinu Shlomo would not cause punishment if they didn't deserve it. So the horror, that's something that we have to hear also. You know, sometimes we're in a position, even after a warning, we have to know that it's sometimes it's deserving, it is deserving. But the deher, the warning itself, doesn't make it deserving. That's a very important yisod to remember. Be careful what you warn about. Sometimes you'll be funny, you'll look bad if you don't follow through. You have to be careful what you warn. The second deher of, second kasha of, What did you expect them to bring it in? It's fake arai. What does it show? The Teretz is it's a low level. It's a very low level of amunah. At least to worry about yourself. Be suffic. At least to be maimon. Shlolachus al atzman. At least that level you should have done. It's not the highest madrega, but they were expected to be on that madrega. Was there no other way to be told on? Well, see it the hair in amunah. So it's such a chash of a thing that it rated. And to the hair that I was really using as that we should look upon ourselves in a positive light, which is sometimes we grapple for ways to see where our growth is. That's a tremendous inspiration to just to the hair that we believe that the Rebbeinu Shalom is here, we daven to Rebbeinu Shalom, we're learning, we're doing the Ratzon Hashem, we're Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. That is a very, very chash of a thing. Because the absence of it, you see, rated with the worst evil by these perpetrators. And lastly, why didn't they listen? Taka made no sense. Taka made no sense that they didn't listen. But that's how difficult it is. When you're in the middle of something, even something which is not going to hurt you anything, it's not going to cause any harm. Take a second. Bring the flock inside to the barn. What would it hurt? But we're in the middle of the matzah, you can't smell the stench. Well, I have to make one announcement. I was asked by the Mr. Shlomi Friedman. They're having difficulty in the with the pipes in the facilities by the dorm in particular, because the shaving and the haircuts, I assume it's shaving, I don't know, haircuts don't usually end up in the sink. But a lot of hair globs ending up in the sinks. And it clogs up the pipes, and it's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars to get a repair, to go through the whole thing, aside from the fact that it could cause other collateral damage, which maybe the yeshiva deserves, because there's no such thing as collateral damage. But despite the fact, please, not to be gorim, the collateral damage, and to try, some people do it, they forget, but just if we remind each other, if you see it, to please remind our chaverim to try and be chas on the... First of all, for the maintenance people, they shouldn't have to deal with it, and also for the momentous of the yeshiva.